This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our reports with the Pope on Sunday and the other stories. That will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Leo XIV told the faithful who gathered in St. Peter's Square on Sunday for the traditional Queen of Heaven prayer that in the call each has received from God and in their daily living of the faith, they meet challenges and sometimes feel inadequate, but Jesus reminds us not to rely on our own abilities, but on the mercy of the Lord who has chosen us, and to be certain that the Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us all things.
Gesù annuncia il dono dello Spirito Santo.
Reflecting from Sunday's Gospel taken from John chapter 14, verse 23 to 29, in which Jesus assures the apostles that they would not remain orphans after his death, resurrection, and ascension, because the Holy Spirit will come and guide them in the work of evangelization, the Pope said the apostles were afraid and wondering how they would continue to bear witness to the kingdom of God. But the Lord's promise freed them from their anxiety. The Holy Father said this applies to us also, for if we remain in love with one another and with God, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, making us his home, and our life becomes a temple of God. God, he went on, enlightens us, makes us instruments of his love for others, for society and for the world, and influences the way we think and act, despite our weaknesses. It is wonderful, the Pope added, to think that when we consider our individual calling, the situations we encounter and the people entrusted to our care, our commitment and responsibilities, and our service in the Church, each of us can say with confidence, the Lord is not ashamed of my humanity.
Carissimi, sul fondamento di questa promessa, camminiamo nella gioia della fede.
Pope Leo invited the faithful to walk in the joy born of faith in order to become a holy temple of the Lord and to resolve to bring his love everywhere, never forgetting that each of our sisters and brothers is a dwelling place of God, and that God's presence is manifested above all in the little ones, in the poor and the suffering, who ask us to be thoughtful and compassionate Christians. He concluded his reflection with a request to Catholics to keep supporting him with their prayers and closeness in his ministry. He also invited everyone to entrust oneself to the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who by the power of the Holy Spirit became a dwelling place consecrated to God. He prayed that we too may come to know the joy of welcoming the Lord into our lives and of being signs and instruments of his love. In another development, on Sunday evening, Pope Leo XIV presided over Holy Mass in the Basilica of St. John Lateran, which serves as the cathedral of the Diocese of Rome, to which he is the bishop. During the liturgy, the Pope was installed as the Bishop of the Diocese of Rome, after which the diocesan clergy pledged their obedience to him.
La Chiesa di Roma è erede di una grande storia.
In his homily, the Pope said the Church of Rome is heir to a great history, grounded in the witness of Saints Peter and Paul the Apostles, and countless martyrs, and it has a unique mission to be mother of all the churches. He recalled how frequently Pope Francis encouraged the faithful to reflect on the maternal dimension of the Church and her defining qualities of tenderness, self-sacrifice, and the capacity to listen. Those qualities, he said, enable the church not only to assist others, but often to anticipate their needs and expectations before they are even expressed. He prayed that those qualities may be increasingly present in the people of God everywhere, including in the faithful, in bishops, and in him as a pope. Reflecting on the book of the Acts of the Apostles, he said the early church always resolved the challenges of the time in communion with the Mother Church of Jerusalem in humility, guided by dialogue and prayer, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who sustained the members and showed them the way to follow, and reminding them of all that Jesus had said.
Proprio in questi giorni si sta prodigando per il giubileo, nell'accoglienza e nella cura dei pellegrini e in innumerevoli altre iniziative.
Pope Leo recalled the various initiatives of the Diocese of Rome, including welcoming and providing for the needs of pilgrims during the present Jubilee year, for which he expressed thanks to the faithful. He expressed his firm desire to contribute to the ongoing process in the diocese by listening to everyone as much as possible in order to learn, understand, and decide things together. He asked the faithful to pray for him, reminding them of the words of Saint Leo the Great, who said all the good we do in the exercise of our ministry is the work of Christ and not our own. A medical charity, Doctors Without Borders, has issued a statement calling upon warring parties in South Sudan to create a safe humanitarian space to protect civilians and aid workers who are fleeing fighting towards the border with Ethiopia. According to reports, thousands of South Sudanese refugees near the border have been forced to flee further into Ethiopia as fighting between South Sudan's National Army and militias of the White Army intensifies. Military officials from Ethiopia and South Sudan agreed recently to enhance joint operations that would target the militias to stop their activities along the shared border. Meanwhile, the Archbishop of Juba, Cardinal Stephen Ameyu, has told the faithful that Pope Leo XIV has assured South Sudan of his spiritual closeness amid the difficulties the country is facing. Cardinal Ameyu returned to South Sudan on Friday from the Vatican, where he participated in the conclave that elected the current pope. Recalling his first papal conclave and experience, Cardinal Ameyu conveyed Pope Francis's greetings to the people, noting that he had shared with him the situation of the country and that he had asked the faithful to pray and to work for peace. African Union member states marked the 62nd Africa Day on Sunday, May 25th, in different capitals on the African continent with the theme Justice for Africans and the People of African Descent Through Reparations. The day commemorates the founding of the Organization of African Unity on May 25, 1962 in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, by 32 African states, with the main objective of bringing the African nations together and to resolve the challenges facing the continent. This year's theme honors the memory of those who suffered under slavery and colonialism, while asserting the right of Africa and its diaspora to truth, justice, and restoration. The chairman of the African Union Commission, Mahamudu Ali Yusuf, told reporters in Addis Ababa that while justice and reparations remain long overdue, Africa would not be held hostage by the pain of its past. He expressed sorrow over the conflicts and wars taking place in Africa, but noted that the continent is steadily building a future of peace, prosperity, and integration. Mr. Yusuf said Africa is on the right path and highlighted its strategic assets, which include a youthful and growing population, vast arable land, rich mineral wealth, and abundant renewable energy potential. He called upon African leaders to safeguard their country's resources and to give priority to value addition through transformative initiatives like the African Continental Free Trade Area, underlining that Africa must no longer be an afterthought in global geopolitics. A Ugandan human rights defender, Agatha Atuhaire, has told reporters in Kampala how she was arrested and tortured by Tanzania's security agents when she arrived in the country last Monday to attend a court hearing of a Tanzanian opposition leader, Tundu Lissu, who is in jail on treason charges for calling for electoral reforms. Ms. Atuhaire had traveled to Tanzania with a Kenyan human rights campaigner, Boniface Mwangi, who was also arrested. Mr. Mwangi was dumped by Tanzanian security agents on a roadside in northern Tanzania near the Kenyan border after human rights activists and the Kenyan government demanded his release, while Agatha Atuhaire was abandoned at the border with Uganda on Friday. This is how she narrates her ordeal.
The first order is take off your clothes. There's one who hits me with something on the back, and there's one who violently takes off all my clothes. They take off all my clothes, they throw me down, they handcuff me, but they tried to put a sweater before the handcuffs. I think the injuries here would have been worse. There's one hitting under my feet so badly. The pain was too much. And there's one shoving something in my, that is rape by all standards. I am screaming so hard, and they bring something to cover my mouth. They increase the volume of the car until I started hearing Boniface scream. So they had increased the volume so that I don't hear him. But the pain they were inflicting on him was too much.
And this is how Mr. Mwangi narrates what he went through.
They did very terrible, horrible things to us. I've been handcuffed and blindfolded since Monday night until this morning. We were both chained, blindfolded, and underwent gruesome torture. The situation in Tanzania is very bad. I think what happened to us is what happens to all Tanzanian activists. Men were blackmailed and told you can't share about those things. But now, at the right time, when Agatha is found, we'll show what they did to us. And you know who did this to us.
Tanzania is a member of the East African Community, whose other members are Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, South Sudan, Somalia, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. Human rights organizations in these countries have expressed concern over the increased rate of human rights violations in Tanzania by security agents and the persecution of the opposition, many of whom have been barred from participating in the presidential and parliamentary elections scheduled for October this year. The rights organizations have called for action against security agents who tortured Ms. Atuhaire and Mr. Mwangi.
We demand that the people who subjected them to this torture are immediately held accountable, including those directing these crimes.
Physical abuse is visible, but when it comes to the emotion and trauma, this is something that they are going to carry for the rest of their lives and for years to come.
Last week, lawyers from East African countries who had traveled to Tanzania to be present at the trial of Mr. Tundu Lissu were arrested and deported. Last month, the Secretary General of the Tanzania Catholic Bishops Conference, Father Charles Kitima, was attacked and seriously wounded in the compound of his residence by people believed to be supporters of the ruling Chama cha Mapinduzi Party, which has ruled Tanzania since independence in 1964. Father Kitima, who also serves as the spokesman of the Catholic Bishops Conference, is accused of criticizing the government. Tanzanian President Samia Suluhu Hassan accused last week human rights campaigners from the East African Community of attempting to destabilize his country and promised to deal with them. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature, family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program, Family.
Dog
Togolese national, Mr. Isaac Kojo Achikiti, is an economist. I recently caught up with him on the sidelines of the Africa Day conference organized by the Santa Croce Pontifical University here in Rome in collaboration with Harambe Africa International. As you know, Africa Day, instituted by the African Union, is celebrated across the continent every year on the 25th of May. The idea of the conference was to coincide with this commemoration, but also to provide space for reflection about Africa and all things African. I asked Mr. Chikiti about a number of issues that are dear to Africa and its people.
Thank you. I'm Isaac Kojo Achikiti. I'm Togolese. I'm expert in climate finance and PhD candidate at the University of Rome Sapienza in economics. I was invited by Harambe Foundation, with which I collaborate. I've been collaborating since some years, mainly discussing, interacting, and studying topics related to the climate change and the economics. So I've been invited by the foundation today to talk about this this topic, climate change mitigation in Africa, climate finance also.
So where do you think the direction of this climate change financing is going? It seems there have been so many promises made over the years, but very few actually given to Africa to kind of help Africa, especially and other developing nations, with the climate change issues.
I like a word, maybe I dislike a word you use, that is helping Africa. I think Africa should be, I wouldn't say not helped, but find the way to help itself. And in that sense, I think there are some new initiatives. Effectively, there have been promises, and the reality is not always matching with what has been promised. I don't want to be negative. I want to be positive about the future. There are some critical issues. Climate finance is not easy. It's requires a really grounded and sophisticated financial architecture. But there are things going on. I can say, for example, the signature, I would say, of a bond between the ECOWAS and Cassa Depositi e Prestiti for mitigation of climate finance. Climate change. So it's a bounty about million euro to build infrastructure, infrastructure mainly energetic infrastructure that's nurtured by solar panel and different kinds of renewable energy.
So this money is actually getting through, or it has just been signed for and hopefully it will come?
It's a long process. I think it has been signed, and I'm not in the details of these procedures, but I think part of the money is already coming down, been channeled to the project. From what I've read, there will be more than 400 projects in this field. So yes.
How does this connect with Africa Day and the celebration of Africa Day on the 25th of May?
We are talking anyway about Africa, and I should remind also that this celebration is to remind the creation of the African Union in Addis Ababa, and that was in 1963. So it is also a way to remind some burning issues of Africa going on in Africa. development, economics, peace, and other topics. For this occasion, we will be talking mainly about climate change, sustainable development, and economics. So it's always a good occasion to discuss about these kind of topics, of issues, reflecting about them, and see how to move forward.
I think the organizers of this conference are looking more now to young people and facing the future of Africa. So, in fact, they are the custodians of tomorrow's future in Africa. What would you say about that?
I think it's a good approach. I myself, I can say a young people. I'm 31 years old. So I think it's also a proof from the foundation involving me in this conference, asking me to talk about these topics. As you have said, it is always repeated that young people are the features, are the future, but not always they are they involved in the decisions. I think we are moving slowly in the opposite direction. I mean, in the direction of going and involving and making young people part of the decisions, of the actions, not only having them to protest and going on the streets, but being where decisions are taken and where discussions and dialogues, reflections are made.
I see that many young people still in Africa today, even many professionals, they still look to the Western countries to find jobs, to proceed with their academics and so forth. And a lot of, there's so much discouragement on migration, so much discouragement in Africa, but still the numbers keep going and so on. So what's your view about that?
I think migration is a natural dynamic. And I should also remind that the majority of the migration, large part of migration is intra-Africa. It's not from Africa to the Western countries, to Italy, to France, and so on. So we shall recognize that not in all countries the situation there are many countries going through war, civil conflicts, and many issues. So it is natural, as I was saying, as human, when things are getting difficult in a place, one of the idea is to move to a better place, to search for a better life, to search for peace, for security, and so on. But in Africa as well, there are things changing. Young people are trying to innovate, to create enterprise, to with technology and different in different fields. Young Africans are trying to do things, and I want to see the glass half full, and encourage my fellow young people to I won't say to stay, because I know that in some contexts it is difficult to stay. And also sometimes living is also a way to come back with more strength. So for those who have moved as me, like me, there is always that idea to go back, to share what we have been learning in Western countries, and to contribute to the development and of Africa.
Just as by way of coming to an end, I would like to say that you've mentioned conflicts, and what is your view of African young people and conflicts?
I think we have African people have to be to go for peace, and sometimes there are manipulations, because it is sometimes easy to manipulate young African to get them in in conflicts that are not, they don't really share the motivations of those who are pushing them to take part of those conflicts. We only have to reflect more, and I invite all my friends, young people, to be more, to be against war, I would say, to work more for peace.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Mr. Isaac Kojo Achigiti on Family.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.